This morning we thought about the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. And Jakey did a very good job reading the scripture this morning. I want now to talk about taking courage. As we read about two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they were disciples, at least at first, secretively. It says that of Joseph, that he was a prominent member of the council. And he was a disciple by secret. Nicodemus came at night by secret. And he also was a ruler among the Jews. And these two men took courage. They turned their back on those of their friends who hated Jesus, who despised Jesus, who were glad that he was crucified. And they took courage to go against them and do what they knew was the right thing to do. And that is to bury the body of their Lord, Jesus Christ. Like them, we must take courage to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ as his disciples. And I want to talk about that this morning. As Christians, as God's children, we must take courage. Let's begin in Psalms 27 this morning. I want to look at two scriptures from the book of Psalms. Psalms 27 and verse 14. Psalms 27 and verse 14. David says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." We must take courage. Taking courage, it's a decision that we make. It's proactive in its nature. We must take ownership of courage. It's something that we decide to do, to be courageous. This doesn't mean we're not going to be afraid, but we overcome our fear by taking courage, waiting on the Lord and depending upon Him. Turn over now to Psalm 31 and verse 22. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Our hope is in God. And because of our hope, because of His promises, because of the hope of eternal life, we overcome the fear that is in our life and we take courage. Some scriptures from the New Testament we will take just a moment. We won't read this morning. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. In other words, be courageous. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Because of the strength of God working in your life as His child, be strong. And the third one, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The gifts of God that we have as His children in Christ Jesus, be strong. As Christians, we must take courage. It's our decision whether or not to be courageous. It's the decision we make to depend upon God and to be courageous. We must take hold of it, claim it to be our own, and be strong in the Lord. How do we do that? First of all, we believe in God. We believe and therefore, we take courage. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We believe in the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 6 and beginning in verse 13. Verse 13, I want you to focus. Notice here that we believe in the promises of God and therefore we take courage because of that. Verse 13, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And now verse 17. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. And then verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. We have strong encouragement. We take courage at the promises of God and this hope of eternal life. We'll talk about more in just a few moments. Because of this hope, we overcome our fears. We're encouraged. We take courage to act as God's children. Let's look at a couple of examples. Go with me over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And I want us to notice here as Joshua takes control of the children of Israel, here throughout the book, God tells him to take courage. And I want us to notice the first time in which this occurs. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, beginning in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. In other words, God has promised us. Therefore, we believe that. Therefore, we take courage to do those things. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You see, it depends upon the Word of God and believing in that, being strong and being courageous. Now look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? In other words, God has commanded us to do these things. Therefore, it is God who is going to help us and give us the strength. It is up to us to take courage, to step out and to do those things. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we'll talk about this in just a moment, God being with us. But before we do that, let's look at another example in chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Let's notice those who did not believe in God, those who did not believe in the Word of God. They were not courageous and they were not strong. I want us to understand, it's about believing in God and His Word and His promises. And then when we have that faith, we can overcome the fear that it's in our life that holds us back from obeying God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Here, the people in Jericho, the spies have gone in to spy out Jericho. They've come to Rahab's house, and she tells them to go up to the roof, and there they hide. Verse 8, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. You see, she believed, didn't she? And that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, and Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, now look at this, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. You see, they did not have courage. Now, I want us to know that Rahab, she took courage. She obeyed the word of God as given to her by the spies. She stayed within her house when they came to defeat the city. She put the scarlet cord out the window. She believed. She took courage to do those incredible things. As the walls come tumbling down, she stayed in her house, which was on the wall. She took courage to obey God. But all the others within the city, they did not take courage. I want you to understand, it's because of the Word of God. It's because of our faith. Rahab has this faith we are told about, especially in the book of James. She has this faith to obey God. Therefore, she was courageous when all others in the city were not, because of the Word of God. We are in the world of unbelievers, in a world of unbelievers who do not have courage. They are cowards when it comes to obeying God. Standing up against those who oppose them in the world and doing those things which are right, they succumb to the pressure all about them, whether it be from friends, whether it be from media, whether it be from relatives and families, whatever it may be. But we are the ones who take courage. Why is that? Because we believe the Word of God. Because of the Word of God, we believe that He is with us. The Lord is with us. Go with me very quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want us to notice the end of this verse very quickly, and then we're going to go back over to the Old Testament for an example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there we're going to look at the end of verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. And here Paul is going all the way through this epistle. He's winding it all up. The end of verse 16 says, "The Lord be with you all." You see, the Lord is with us, and this means something to us. This is significant to us. I want us to look over to Haggai. If you'll turn your Bibles over there, this is the third from the last book in the Old Testament. Let's go over to Haggai, and I want to look at a few verses over there with you this morning. Haggai, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5. I want us to notice about the courage of Israel. Here the Lord says in verse 4, "But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work." You see, that's what we do when we take courage. We do the Lord's work, whether it be here with the congregation, whether it be outside our own lives, whatever we're doing, we take courage to do the Lord's work. Why? "For I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear." And the Lord's spirit is abiding in our midst. As a matter of fact, His Spirit is within us as a congregation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and individually, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so therefore, we are to take courage and do the Lord's work. Now, very importantly, I want you to look at verse 6. Now the prophet looks forward to the church. Verse 6. Then we're going to go to the New Testament, where these very phrases are used. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land." Now remember that, shaking. We're going to look at that in a moment in Hebrews. "I will shake the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former," looking forward to the church, says the Lord of hosts. "And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." Here the Lord is promising this peace. He's telling them to take courage. He's looking forward to that time when the glory is greater, to that time of the church. Now, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12 for just a moment. And I want to notice something about the church. And I want to notice something about you and I today. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning in verse 26. Here, Paul is quoting from Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. "And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." You see, we too are to take courage. We are in the kingdom of God. God is with us. Therefore, we are courageous to do the Lord's work as His children, both as a church and personally. We take courage because God is with us, that He's with us every moment of every day and everywhere that we go and everything that we do. Therefore, we worship Him and we serve Him with reverence and with awe. Because God is with us, God is also for us. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. Romans chapter 5. We take courage because we believe in God. We believe in His Word. Because of God's Word, we know that God is with us. Therefore, we take courage to do His work as His kingdom, as His children, as His church. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the end of that verse, God says, "For if God is for us, who is against us? Now, Paul is dealing with that. He's coming to this point in chapter 8, verse 31, and we go back to chapter 5 now, and I want you to notice a few things with me, chapter 5, verse 3. For not only this, but we also exult, or your translation may say glory, in our tribulations. I want you to understand here we take courage to glory, to exult in our tribulations. We overcome them. We're not afraid. We're not fearful. We are doing the work. We take courage even to glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now I want you to go to verse 6. Here we can count on these things. We can glory and rejoice in our difficulties. Why? For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is why we can take courage, because Jesus Christ died for us. That He's made us into a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, that shall continue forever. And therefore, we take courage to do His work, believing in God. God is with us and God is for us. Verse 9, much more then. You see, He was talking about in verse 8 when Jesus Christ died upon the cross for us while we were ungodly. But now He talks about us today. He says, much more then. More than dying upon the cross. What does He say? Much more then. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Much more now as Christians being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. God is for us. God is with us. And notice what He says. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult or rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We rejoice. God is with us. God is for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Now, even more so, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in heaven. Even much more now. God will do those things which are needful for us and withhold nothing from us. Take courage. Now to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now, because we believe in the Word of God, we believe in what He says, we believe this with all of our heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Take courage. God causes all things. God is all powerful. God can do whatever He wants. God has promised all things will work together for good. We know that our life is not a waste. We know that there is a purpose. We may not be able to see it now. We may not be able to understand it now. We may not be able to see into the future what God is going to do. Perhaps it was the same with those within the first and the second and the third and the fourth century who were persecuted so greatly because of their faith. And as explained within the book of Revelation, there was a purpose. God was not having them to suffer and go through all of those things for no reason whatsoever. Now, they may not be able to understand the full purpose while they were living here upon earth. And we may not be able to understand the full purpose, the days and the times of the things that we are experiencing, the things that are going on. But we know that there is a purpose, and God is taking your life and He's making all things to work together for good. Take courage. There is a purpose. There is a reason. God is with you. God is for you. Verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. God has predestined you. Understand this. Predestined you to His glory, to eternal life. Predestined you to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, notice this, He also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. And brethren, we are in this glorious kingdom today. We are glorified among all the eternal hosts in heaven, and we will be glorified for eternity in heaven. We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the lesson. There is a purpose to your life. God works all things together for good. Good is coming out of your life. Take courage. Do the work of God. He is with you, and he is for you. Look now at verse 31. Verse 31. Notice what God will give you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Rhetorical question. If God is for us, who can overcome us? Who can keep us from doing his work? Who can cause us to fail? Who can take away the purpose in your life? No one, nothing. Take courage. Do the work. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? We need to understand, when we take courage based on faith, on the Word of God, go out to do the work that God gives us all things, he does not withhold one thing which is needful to accomplish his purpose through us. Verse 38, he gives us all things. Verse 32, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, yes, rather also was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the throne of God. God who has promised to give us all things, that there is a purpose in our life, that we're predestined to glory. Take courage, fulfill your mission in life. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? In other words, what can keep you from fulfilling your mission as God's child? What can keep God from accomplishing his mission through you, working all things together for good according to his purpose as he is predestined? Not one thing can stop us. Drop down to verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And there's only one thing that prevents us from overwhelmingly conquering, and that is if we do not take courage and do the work of God. Take courage. Grab hold of it. Take ownership of it. It's your decision. Are you going to be courageous or not? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust his word? Or will you falter? It is your decision. When we make the decision to be courageous, to accomplish God's work, he gives us all things. He does not withhold one thing. We know that we will be successful and in the end glorified in victory. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Paul says, for I am convinced. Now let me ask you, are you convinced? If you are, take courage. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able. It's not able. None of these things are able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, our victory is certain. Our success is certain if we take courage and do the work. Take courage and do the work. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop you if you do that. Remember David when he fought against Goliath, the little boy against the giant, and he ran to the battle line. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David said, you come with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's us. We come in the name of the Lord of hosts. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. The Lord delivers us and delivers these things into our hands. If we are like David, we take courage and do the work. And he says, these things will happen
that Goliath will be destroyed, and the Philistines, so that all this assembly will know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Get your supplemental psalm book out. Let's turn to number 4 real quick. I want us to be reminded of the words of this psalm. Number 4. The battle belongs to the Lord. And think about, your life. Think about this church. Think about your work. Think about, take courage and do the work. In heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what Paul says. We cannot fail. Nothing can come against us to bring us down, to prevent us from fulfilling our mission. When the power of darkness, verse 2, comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up the standard, the power of His blood, the battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemies press in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Take courage. You see, the Lord has ordained all of these things. The Lord has set them in motion. The Lord has predestined them. What is for us to do? Believe in God, believe in His Word, and take courage. Claim it. Possess it. Make the decision to be courageous and not to fear. One more point this morning, if you'll turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are courageous because we believe in God. We believe in His Word. We know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is for us. The Lord will not fail. We as His children will not fail. God has predestined it. And we take courage because we know we'll spend eternity in heaven with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 6, I want you to notice in two places, both in verse 6 and in verse 8, Paul uses the word courage. Verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Being of good courage, knowing what's going to happen, knowing that we're going to be transformed in a twinkling of the eye, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That we're going to put off this temporary tent and put on our eternal abode in heaven. Therefore, we take courage. Knowing that while we're here in this body, we're away from the Lord, but we are going to the Lord. He says, because of that, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Let me suggest to you this morning, it's impossible to walk by faith and not have courage. Those who do not have courage are not going to walk by faith. They're going to succumb to the evil pressures put upon them. They're going to turn away from God. They're going to fail. But those who walk by faith, confident in God, without any doubting whatsoever, they take courage. Knowing that while we're here upon this earth, we're away from the Lord, but it will not be very long till we are with God for eternity, and we know that to be true. There is no doubt whatsoever. We know the future. You know the future, what it has in store for you. In verse 8, we are of good courage. We are of good courage. I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. This may be the ultimate test of courage. I prefer not to live upon the earth. I prefer to be with the Lord. If I were to die today, that would be the greatest thing that could happen to me. If the Lord were to come today, that would be the greatest thing that could happen to me. Do you have that courage? That courage? That courage in your life? Think about that, will you? Take courage. It's your decision. It's your choice to believe in God without any doubting whatsoever, knowing what tomorrow has in store, eternal life.
Take courage. Do you have that courage? You must take courage to become a child of God, to become a Christian. It takes courage to be different from all others in the world who do not believe. It takes courage to obey the Lord. Do you have that courage this morning? If you're not a Christian, do you have that courage, and are you willing to become a child of God? What must you do? Believing in Him, you repent of your sins, you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're baptized into Jesus Christ. Your sins are washed away. You're added to the Lord's church, that kingdom we talked about, which can never fail, never be shaken. You'll have an eternal home in heaven. You'll have courage. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if we can help you in any way, I want you to step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.